What's up, fool?
Chilling, dog.
Chilling right here, man. We were in
Pleasanton.
I don't even know what number of podcast this is.
80?
We do 80. Number 80. I feel like Dr. Demento. Number 80.
Ochenta.
Ochenta, man. 20 more, we'll have 100.
Yeah, man.
And we're going to have another live show for the 100. Well, you don't know, but I say we're going to have one. We're going to have it 100. We're gonna, even though it's 98, 94, we're going to call it 100.
So, crack it, dog.
Not much, man. Also, people, don't forget, if you're going to do some online shopping, go to the FelipeWorld.com webpage. Felipe's World webpage. FelipeWorld.com. Right there on the home screen, there's a search window for Amazon. And you can do all your shopping through there. Like, even, excuse me. Don't even Google Amazon. Just Google FelipeWorld.com and go to the Amazon search window and do all your shopping there. That way, we can know what fans are representing and who's not representing. Thank you for all our listeners. What's up, food man? We were in Tommy T's in Pleasanton last week. And that's in the Bay Area. If you have to know where Pleasanton is, it's between, get a map, man. You know where it is.
In the Bay.
It's in the Bay, man. And we got picked up by Tommy T's, bro.
Felipe!
Tommy T's, the owner, is like, so you know, Tommy T's a white dude, white man, in his 60s, right?
Yeah, fool. Totally.
He looks like somebody that should have been in that movie Caddyshack with Ronnie Dangerfield. Like, he dresses like he just came out of that movie Caddyshack. Like, it could be snowing outside. This guy still has a tan.
With shorts on, huh, fool?
Yeah, man.
Showing off those calves, eh?
He looked like a typical softball coach. He's a greeter.
Yeah, a greeter, you know what I mean? Hello, good day, it's Tommy.
He tells everybody what's up.
Everybody remember, fool?
We went to go do radio in San Francisco. Early,
from
bro.
From 6 to noon, dog.
They picked us up at 6 o'clock in the morning to go do radio at noon. No, to go do radio from 6 o'clock in the morning to noon. And we had to drive to San Francisco early in the morning. So we went over the not the Golden State Bridge, right?
Or the Bay Bridge.
The one Bay Bridge. Not the red one. I don't think I've ever been on the red bridge.
No? I have, fool.
I don't think I have.
Just cruise through it. I mean, it was nothing new in a van, fool.
Get the Bay Bridge. So we did radio, man, with Victor Salas something. Saragossa. Victor Saragossa.
Like Curry sidekick.
And Mark Curry from Hanging with Mr. Cooper, but he wasn't there.
What's up, y'all? I'm with Cat.
Yeah, I was recording. Mark Curry, he's working with
Cat Williams, no?
Cat Williams.
Yeah, man.
Yeah, man. So, man, we do the show. Man, just check this out. Thursday night is Birdman's birthday.
And it's my birthday,
and
bro.
He texts me, hey, man, I'm going to pick you guys up for the show. And I didn't believe it, right? He showed up. Actually, his cousin picked me up. His cousin showed up in a red Ferrari Testarossa.
Hell yeah.
We got pictures, so we ain't lying.
We got pictures, Dick. We're never
lying. I've never been in a Ferrari in my life.
How was it, fool?
It felt cool, bro. I wish I was driving, though.
Oh, hell yeah. You got to drive the Maserati, though, dog.
Yeah, I was shotgun, man. And then, I said, Birdman, how are you going to get there? Oh, well, I'm going to go in this white car. And I saw the white car, and let me tell you, man, I don't know shit about cars. I ain't the car guy, you know? I don't know nothing about cars. I just ride shotgun all the time. It was a
passenger, dog.
I thought it was a Nissan Maxima. Like a new four-door Nissan Maxima. But actually, it was a Maserati.
Hell yeah, dude.
And we can't even spell Maserati.
Maserati.
Let me tell you, man, that Ferrari was fat. How do you feel to be in that Maserati?
And the Maserati is fucking smooth as fuck. I mean, I ain't a car guy, too. I'm making shit up. But, you know, the suspension was tight. You know, the axles, the top notch. You know what I mean? It was tight, though. It's smooth, fool. And you can tell it grabs, dog. But how was it when you stepped on the gas? Like, real quick, like instant and shit? Because that's what it...
It was fast, bro. What'd you say, man? I thought the feds were going to come get us.
That's what I'm saying. It's like, where this fool get these cars, dude? This fucking ex-con, fool. All high, all dabbed out, fool. Fucking birds all asleep in the trunk, fool.
I know Birdman shows up with a backpack full of dabs. in a Maserati. Like, really?
Yeah, fool.
Do you trust him to drive your car?
Fuck no. Dude, come on. My insurance ain't going to cover that shit, dog.
I know, man. Like, what if... I don't know, man. Like, if something were to, God forbid, something happened, man. I think Bird might be better off locked up.
He was all decked out for his little birthday, but he came through. It's like you were saying, he was one of those, like, those fools that always lies. And then this one time, he finally, because you're like, God damn, I can't hate on him no more, dog.
Oh, yeah, oh, man. Shit. Raider tickets. Don't forget about the Raider tickets. Oh,
well, that was day number two, bro.
So we went to Berkeley, bro. Went to Berkeley with Flacco. Oh, Frigo, we got to tell you guys, people. Flacco drove.
Hell yeah, dog.
He drove, okay? He chose to drive. We took a one-hour flight. He drove, man. And, man, that fool showed up stiff. Seriously, people. This guy needed a back rub, man. Like, he needed to be doused by hot water or something and Bengay.
Revive.
No, man. This guy, when he got out of the car, he was walking like he was still holding the steering wheel.
His lip was all low, huh? What's up, bro?
He was tired, huh?
How do you think of that, bro?
He looked beat up, huh? All he needed was Walking Dead makeup, bro.
It looks like he fell off a roof or
he
something.
He looked tired, man.
Yeah, fool. He drove straight, what, 5.5 hours? But I think he drove more than 5.5 hours because it was traffic and shit. But yeah, dude, it was hilarious, fool. Right there with fucking Mr. Magoo, dog.
Yeah, man.
Yeah, so Berkeley was cool, too. We did. What's that place we went to go eat at?
Oh, we went to go eat at a vegan spot named Saturn Cafe, which was bomb, bro.
Hell yeah.
It was bomb. Yeah, man.
Yeah, man.
And then we went to the Raider game, bro.
Hell yeah. That was Saturday. It was
we
Sunday.
Had four tickets. Birdman hooked dude. Up. Actually, what's, Birdman's cousin. We're tailgating.
What's it called, fool? That pit where we're at?
The black hole.
The black hole, though. But then before it all started, we went to go park, fool. And we went in the Maserati.
We went in the Maserati. Oh, man. I got to drive the Maserati to... I got to drive the Maserati to Starbucks, people.
Zoom in, dog. Like the Commodores.
If I would have felt like, bro.
Did it really? Because that fool was driving like 90, dude, and 80 at the same time, like off and on.
Did it feel like 90?
Fuck no. But that fool was all, doesn't even feel like 90, bro. Like 30.
I know. I like the way the car feels, bro. It feels bad.
But it took off, though, when he fucking got in between those two cars and shit. Got a little... Okay, I didn't even have my seatbelt on. Good fuck.
No, drunk ass fool that tailgate, huh?
Hell yeah, dog. Well, with the fucking, I took like fucking four shots, dude.
You tight. Did, huh?
Yeah, with those fools that we met. Yeah, I felt it, dog. Hell yeah, dude. It was cool. But I mean, dude, then we're hit that blunt, and we were already lit. Yeah, dog. Then it was cool, dog. But you got we're going from little camp to camp, dude. And then I bit into that fool with that sausage. That fool had the hottest. I was hungry, dude. I bit into that shit, then that fucking the grease squirted on my nose and burned my nose, dog.
How about that homely Hawaiian fool we saw, bro, with season tickets? Remember that Hawaiian fool? He was all loaded, missing teeth. Oh, hey, guys.
Oh, the little guy with the joints, huh? Yeah, yeah. Yeah, that fool looked like motherfucker used to surf with wooden fucking surfboards, dog.
I know, man. He's the original Duke.
That fool was missing the little teeth, dog. We used to open bottles with them and shit, dog. Little Ryder, fool.
Hey, fool.
What up?
Did you know that Birdman's cousin shows up and he meets us at the Raider game, right? Because he has some of the he's the one hooked up. He has season tickets for the last 11 years.
Hell yeah, dude.
We were sitting next to Darth Vader, people. Hell, Darth dude. Raider.
I couldn't believe it, huh?
Like, let me tell you, people, when those cheerleaders were passing by, like, if I wanted to dive at them and really, like, jump on one of them or jump on top of Tim Brown's car, I could have jumped on top of the car.
Yeah, they honored Tim Brown too that day, dude, during halftime, right?
Yeah,
but I'm going to tell you, like, you know what it feels like when you see that? Because you see those, like, goddamn, those fucking cheerleaders are pretty, dog. You're like one of those, you know, like, paisa dads and shit, chill on the side. Que chulada. Those fucking, like, you know, they're all super pretty and shit.
I know, man. Awesome. Like, some of them were, like, Not that young, huh?
Nah, dude. They were like, you know, some in the 30s and shit, but they were like, you know, like hot ass stewardesses.
What's up, Chucky? What you got to say?
So we pulled out the little.
That's Chucky checking out, turning up an avocado. I never sat that close, man. We were close, man.
Dude, right there, fool. Like, it's right there where those fools can jump after they score a touchdown and you hug them and shit.
Oh. I was waiting for a little touchdown on our side, but I was like, it'll be on TV, bro. Plug the show.
I'll try to.
Yeah, man, but both shows were sold out Saturday night. Hell, man. Yeah, thank you, everybody who showed up to the shows on Saturday night.
Pleasant
it was
rock,
sold bro. Out. People drove from far away.
Hell yeah, dude.
All the way from Stockton.
Hell yeah, dude.
Remember that food? This fool got kicked out, right? You heard? What happened there, bro? I missed
nothing, that. Dude. I guess fucking Flacco was on stage. He was killing it, doing his thing, dude. But this fool wouldn't, like, he would, like I guess it was four people in the party, and they were laughing at Flacco dying, right? And then that fool, like, after they were done laughing, he's all, that shit ain't funny, man. Fucking what I, you know, just being a dick, dude. And then that fool just, like, what's up, bro? Like, it's about you or what? And then got into it with that fool, and then they fucking gave him the boot, dude. And then fucking the whole shit unfolded on Instagram, dog. And I think that that fool, because when I went to go get my hot dog, this fool, did he run into him in the Raider game? Or on the in the he ran into him somewhere because he disappeared for a little while.
Because he went to the restroom. He ran into him on the way out of the stadium. But that guy was drinking a beer, not facing me.
Yeah, but that's what happened, fool, from what I seen and shit. That fool was talking a little bit of shit, too, when I was on there getting the show started. But I just didn't give them any life, dog. They ain't going to be no back and forth here, dog.
And then, did you know that then,
what happened, fool?
Birdman's cousin showed up in a black Ferrari. A nice
The next, yeah. At the game.
Yeah.
Because he came with that other little fool, right?
He didn't even know that fool,
fuck
right?
Fuck no.
See, he kidnapped him?
Bro, what the fuck is going on?
What happened, bro?
I don't know, dude. I guess he met this fool at the hotel or something. Like a little fucking little fool that looked like fucking Peyton Manning's brother and shit.
He was just a random guy.
Yeah, a little white fool.
And he said, hey, man.
Kevin.
What you doing tonight? You want to go to the Raider game? He said, yeah. And he left.
And that fool fucking wanted a party. He didn't want it
they
to
were
end.
Party. Dog. He didn't want it to end,
hell
man.
Hell nah, dog. Like, damn, fool.
They were partying hard.
Eating those Philly cheesesteaks and those big-ass beers. A lot big of
beat-up chicks at the Raider game, huh?
Hell yeah, fool. It looked like they played.
I know, man.
Hey, what the fuck's up, dog? Fucking Carr didn't even take one down, huh, dog? Fucking what up, dude? Fucking, you should have just took that sack, dog.
That one interception was sad, huh?
The last two were just fucking horrible, dog.
The one that should have been a fumble.
Oh, my God, dude. But whatever, dog. It's not like I'm going to go hop in there and help him win.
You passed out during the game, too, bro.
I was just really, really ripped,
you took the
dog.
Seventh inning stretch.
I was, dude. You took that picture of my ass running like that. Oh, my God. I hate that shit. But you know what, dude? It's fucking funny. The motherfucker looked like a fat-ass emoji, dog.
Some of those Sikhs wearing the Raider turbans, bro.
Oh, dude, I have a good one behind him. I was going to think about being funny and go, hey, dog, ready to call Homeland Security. But they were Sikhs, dog. But they were cool when they were down, cool, dog. Fucking dude, fool. That's
you know that
thing.
Fool had a fat-ass joint in that hat, bro.
But, dude, no matter what, dude, people, like, Raider fans are down, dog. Like, dude,
down,
like,
huh?
So, you know, if you lose, all right, fuck it, I'm used to it. But if they win, they're fucking like, ah.
Nothing but Raider fans in that stadium, huh?
Nothing but Raider fans, dog. It was packed.
Just
to
that
the
one,
gills.
Just that one brother, man, with a Chiefs jersey.
That was the only one I seen. There was a couple other ones on the way in, but not in the section where we're at in the black hole, dog.
Nothing, man.
Hell no. Murr.
Yeah, man. We had Larry Bubba Brown, bro.
Yeah, Pink Steel.
Yeah, man. A couple of dates I got to mention here, man. Before we forget, man. Because we got to let people know. Upcoming shows, people. Next week, I'll be at the Chumash Casino. December 18 and 19 with Hail Sparks. New Year's Eve weekend. Ontario Improv, December 31st through January 3rd. There will be a show on Friday, January 1st. So you can start off the New Year's Day with comedy, people. We could both break our New Year's resolution together. January 14th through the 17th, I'll be at the Kansas City Improv, all right? Everybody in Missouri, show up. January 21st through the 24th, I'll be at Tommy T's in Rancho Cordova. I don't know where that is, man, but I'm guessing it's by Sacramento.
Yeah, dude.
So, yeah, man.
Yeah, Tommy T, he had his little jump shot, huh, fool?
Yeah.
How about what he told that fool that it was? He, you know he didn't want to work on Friday, that big-ass fool? I was working on those buildings. All, what's up, man? What's up, fella? Thank God it's Friday, huh?
He's like a white Mando, huh?
Yeah. I'm like, oh, man, he's cool. Hey, fool, like a mean little ladies man, huh, fool?
Yeah, man.
Like, just flirty, dog.
Remember he took us inside that place that was purely all chicken?
Yeah. It doesn't look like they're going to make it, that place.
Yeah. But before he told that lady before he left, yeah, you're a pretty woman.
Yeah, she was, though, dog. She was gorgeous, dog.
I wasn't even paying attention. I knew it would be all chicken in there, though.
Oh, I
thought. No, what did Tommy say after we left that place? It ain't going to last.
Yeah, dog.
That business ain't going to last.
Yeah, it doesn't look like it's going to make it. It's funny, dog. Hell yeah, dude. Pleasanton.
Pleasanton.
And then the first night, too, I forgot everybody's name, dude, but Matt, I mean, I don't know talk about it, but Matt's smoke session, fool.
Oh, yeah,
man. Remind me of the good old days, you know?
Yeah,
lots
man.
Lots of good stuff there, you know?
It's funny, man.
Lots of streams.
The town, you know, it's called Pleasanton, man. California. It's supposed to be a nice town, but, man, the comedy club is across the street from a Denny's that closed.
Hell yeah, dude.
But, Larry Bubbles Brown had a funny joke about it, too.
Hell yeah. And then it was right next to the fucking, you know, that little scandalous motel. Dude, you know shit goes down right there, fool.
I don't know when it goes down, man. Yeah, Tommy T's is a great club, man. If you want to bring a date, you know, because right across the street, you know, if things go well, it's a Motel 6.
You can score twice.
You could ask for room service, you know, and go buy her a soda and chips.
Go back for the second show, get a steak.
What's up, fool, man? So what you got planned, bro? You doing any Christmas shopping? Go to our webpage, bro, FelipeWorld.com.
Yeah, if I do it, I'm going to do it through there, but... Dude, I'm just going to get, dude, fuck, dude. It's probably going to be
your family. Are you going to get your family anything?
Some gift cards or something, you know what I mean? Go get those heels worked on, ma. Something, well, you know? I don't know.
Follow that heel, man. She'll feel like sandblast that shit.
I didn't want to, I don't want to be those cheesy fools. I'm just going to go to their house and I'm going to cook them dinner for a Christmas.
Cool. My brother,
I don't
want to
be that
bullshit.
Cheesy motherfucker, dog.
My brother give away the, like, my brother... gets his whack ass phone camera and takes photos from LA stuff and then reprints it and give them to you, bro.
Oh, that's worse than re-gifting, huh, fool?
You want to look at those photos and rip them, bro.
Of like the fucking same like fucking hack landscape from LA that everybody takes. Oh yeah, I've never seen this before.
This year, man, I don't want nothing. They always say that shit, man. This year, I don't want nothing. But you know they want something.
Hell yeah, fool. It's always nice to get a little something though, huh?
Hell yeah, man.
Especially that way. Oh, fuck. This is a good one, dog.
I remember we used to fuck with my little brother, bro, the smallest one. The one that I used to give away paintings for. So my mom would go to Mexico or something. No, she didn't go to Mexico. She would just be gone. And then my brother be not, like, he'll wrap up a present, bro, with like just rocks or some bullshit. And then he'll knock. He'll put my little brother's name on it, bro. Like, we'll get all happy, open inside, nothing. Just be rocks. Rafa.
La tentación.
It's funny, man, when you play tricks on your brother like that, because they have a lot of hope at first.
Did you used to open your presents, like try to peek inside, see what it was?
All the time, bro. Oh, I shake it. Yeah. No, I start counting them, bro. See how many are mine.
I used to slit them up with the X-Acto knife, with the little razor blade. I already knew what the fuck I was going to get, dude. I'd be all like, this one's going to be weak.
Motherfucker got a little exterminating kit. Made out of 2 liter bottles. You should be that for Halloween, bro. It should be Anthony Javier Bardem, bro. And No Country for Rodrigo.
That little.
Yeah, man.
Fucking shit up with that little compressed fucking.
That's a badass movie, huh?
Hell yeah, dude.
What's your favorite Christmas movie?
My favorite Christmas movie? I would have to say it's a cross between Home Alone and fucking The Christmas Story, dog.
Yeah, man, I like Christmas Vacation and Home Alone.
Home Alone's cool, like the first one, dog. When they get lost in the airport, they're already on the way back. He orders all that pizza. They have that cool recorder.
You ever seen that fool lately, bro? That fool looks like a fucking elf on crack.
Hey, dude, after Home...
left Home Alone doing crack his whole life, bro.
After Homegirl left that fool went south, right? That fool, dude, fucking that fool looked all, like, fucked up. He looked like that skinny fool from... the British, he's on Pirates of the Caribbean, the fucking fool from the British office. Little skinny ass fool. Like, you know what I mean? And it's not that that fool had cheeks back in the day, dog. Beyond sucked up.
That fool looked like that guy, that little flame, bro, from that Rudolph or Snow White, Snowman puppet show. I'm Mr. Heat Miser. I like it hot. Yeah, man. My favorite one is Vacation, bro. Christmas Vacation. I could watch that shit. With Chevy Chase.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But which one is that one? They had Russ in it?
Yeah. They always have Russ. But this is the one where Randy Quaid shows up in a trailer. And there is Christmas. And he goes in the middle of the woods to cut off that big-ass tree. And he brings it to the house. And he opens that shit up. Fucking squirrel jumps out, chases everybody. And Randy Quaid shows up, bro. And then like, he's all broke.
Really? Yeah, like I'm going to have to watch that shit then, dude.
Oh, Elaine comes out in there, bro.
Really? From Seinfeld?
She's a neighbor.
Really? Elaine, dog. You know when time that Elaine made me all like, dude, like I wasn't hot for her or nothing. But in Deconstructing Harry, dog. She's good in that movie.
She looked
dog.
Out the window. If I was yeah, staring up in the back.
Dog. I was like, fuck. I didn't know she was like that, dog.
Just a movie, dog.
Sometimes you get caught up in the story, you know.
I know, man.
The plot, you know.
I don't like Scrooge as much. Bill Murray. Scrooge, Bill Murray. Nah, man. I like Home Alone. I could watch Home Alone, but yeah, Christmas Story. They show it all day during Christmas Day on TBS.
Oh hell yeah, dude.
A lot of people like Elf. I don't really like Elf. It's cool. But do like Friday After Next, the Christmas one. That shit is funny, bro.
Yeah.
You never seen
it?
Nah, fool. You're missing out, bro. You got to spend less time drinking off that. That's funny, man. So you're always out and about. So
I have my Netflix. I don't even watch shit on that shit, dog. No time for nothing. No, I was catching up on reading.
Friday After Next. That's the Friday with Mike Epps, and Ricky Smiley plays the Santa Claus that's robbing everybody.
Okay, no, I haven't seen that
it's
one.
It's funny, dog. Like he tries to rob DC Kerr,
Don
DC Curry, bro. And Mike Epps and Ice Cube, right? But then Ricky Smiley as Santa Claus. And then he's fucking robbing them but bagging on them at the same time, bro. It's funny, man, because he pulls his knife on fucking Don DC Curry. He goes, this motherfucking Alabama pimp right here and shit. Bitch, put it in my mashed potatoes. Fucking, oh, motherfucker. I can't believe I got to steal this motherfucking fake-ass Rolex watch. So that shit real, man. Shut up.
That's funny, though.
In the beginning of the movie, Ricky Smiley has Santa Claus, right? But like a crackhead Santa Claus, and he's robbing Ice Cube and Mike Epps, right? And fucking, he's going through all this shit, and he sees Mike Epps' baby foot on this ugly motherfucker right here. Look at his motherfucking eye. And then Ice Cube catches that fool in the kitchen. Man, what the fuck you doing in my house eating a big motherfucking sandwich? Because that fool made a fat ass sandwich, bro. Like one of those fucking Jerry Daly sandwiches.
With 20 meats?
I never seen sandwiches like that, bro. So I went to Jerry's Daly and I went to New York and somebody made me a sandwich and I saw, God damn, that's the most. Man, nobody makes roast beef sandwiches like that, man.
Oh, huge. Hell yeah.
It was fat, full, like full of meat. And one slice of cheese. And no lettuce, no tomatoes, no nothing, man. I get spoiled in California, bro, with the fixings. Then the deli, man. Those deli sandwiches are fucking bad.
Hell yeah, dude.
Rodrigo finding a sleep over there, man.
Now I was like, dude, I'm just used to fucking regular fucking bread and bologna, dog. And then ham later, bro.
I never had like cranberry on my sandwich, man. I never found that good, like cranberry. Turkey sandwiches.
No, I know.
It ain't for me, man.
They fucking drizzle it with that shit, like cranberry sauce or some shit. I never had it, dude.
But I do like, I'm getting hungry, man. I do like that walnut, apple, chicken salad. Yeah, it's like a Waldorf chicken salad, I guess. Yeah, a Sonoma chicken salad.
Sonoma. People.
Yeah, but it's a vegan Sonoma. But you can use real chicken yourself if you want. But it was mayonnaise. I'm pretty sure it's vegan mayonnaise. But it's mayonnaise. It has walnut in it. It has pieces of chicken in it. Pepper, salt, little pieces of celery.
What color does it come out?
And grape. Grape and walnut. So good, dude.
Sonoma dressing?
I don't even know. They call it Sonoma because of the grapes. like a Waldorf salad, but no lettuce, man.
Bomb food?
And you spread it on your bread, man. Forget about it. Booked to the headphones.
Hell yeah, dude.
Yeah, man. So, cool color. What's up, fool, man?
Chilling here, all fucking stizzone, dog.
I know, man.
That Louis XIII got me, you know, got me in a little chokehold.
Yeah, man.
Nothing, dude. It's all raining outside and shit. Chilling.
Is it really raining outside?
Yeah, it was, yeah.
So did you put up a Christmas tree in your house already?
Nah, I don't have a Christmas tree.
Just get a little one, bro.
Well, dude, I'll get one at Stater Brothers, but I haven't been to Stater Brothers in a little bit. But those, you know, the little shitty ass ones that they have, the little bigger ones, they already come with little ornaments. And I ain't going to be like a Scrooge or nothing. Got the little spirit, but, you know, a little corner right there. You know, don't forget about it, dude. Christmas will always be there. Don't get too close. Don't get too far away.
It's a lot of, did you run into a lot of podcast listeners at the show?
Hell yeah, dude. Shout out to Sean Lafferty.
Oh, fool, we got beanies now.
I got one, fool.
You do?
The day we came home.
I'm letting the audience know.
Oh, okay. Hell yeah.
We got beanies, people.
I just got one the other day.
We got What's Up, Fool podcast beanies.
They're great. They're cool. They have the little headphones on there.
Hell yeah. Tight.
I've been wearing it. It's fucking cold, dog.
A brand new logo, people. The brand new What's Up, Fool logo. Beanie. It's gray with white.
Cool gray. Like.
You're going to see it posting it up for the podcast? Yeah, man.
For Christmas, too, right? Just in time?
We're working on hoodies. Yes, we're going to have What's Up, Fool podcast hoodies, people.
And the trucker has still available?
The trucker has still available. Cool. Mugs in the future. There will be a big sale, man. A Christmas sale, so. Also, people, exciting news, man. A lot of good things are coming. Oh, I went to an audition, fool.
Hell yeah, though.
I went to an audition for a new show, Uncle Buck, starring Mike Epps.
Oh, hell yeah.
He plays Uncle Buck. And I was auditioning for a gardener. And they wanted me to have a Mexican accent. Not that I don't have one right now, but they wanted to be more Mexican. Have an East LA accent. So I had to do a Mexican accent and didn't know how to do a Mexican accent. So I went on YouTube and there was a person that teaches you how to speak like an Irish accent, Russian accent, Slovakian accent, a British accent. The British one was funny, man.
Hello, Mike.
You have to change a couple of words, you know? you can't really say garage. You gotta say garage.
That makes sense.
I put my car in a garage, and the A's aren't as proud like they are over here. It ain't America. God. It's America.
America.
It's not far. It's far. So
they teach you how to do all that little shit.
Cut all that little shit, right?
Stretch out the words.
So I went to the Mexican wine, right? And forget about it. You know, as a Puerto Rican, bro. So. I started going, man, and it's like the lady was funny, man, because she said, when you do the Mexican accent, when you talk, you got to talk like you're talking down. So you got to bring your voice down. So every word has to end like you're dropping it, you know? So instead of saying, I'm going to the store. You know what I'm saying? So I had to read it like that, bro. So, man, I sound like a fucking idiot, bro.
this fool, dog.
So, I think I did good, man, because they laughed, you know. I had a little Felipe persona.
Add a little flavor to it.
You know what I'm saying, bro?
Hell yeah, just get on that fucking screen. Hey,
I remember Willie Bar said, like, bro, I gotta read for no gardener, bro.
Dude, you gotta get on the tube, dog.
I gotta read for no gardener, bro. Sell out.
Is it all acting now getting in?
But I was thinking, man, how hard it was fucking. It's not easy to do that accent, bro, if you never done it before.
Well, it's funny that you're saying that because it's all like the way they probably showed you in all the other accents. Those are how they want it for TV. TV accents. You know,
yeah, man.
In that sense of the character.
And that's how a Mexican sounds on TV.
Stereotypical or whatever you want to fucking say. It's not what you want. Your portrayal is what they're looking for.
It's what they. It's like.
The perception.
Yes, what they want is. They want somebody to talk like this, bro.
Let me slip in there, dog.
You know what I mean? Hell yeah, bro. I'm going to start sneaking into fucking movie sets.
But you know, that fucking keeps you fucking, you know what I mean? You know, keep shining on that map. Ooh, little
I saw it like this, man. Like, you know, man, a lot of people have said that, remember when Dr. Kim, Dr. Ken did that part where he showed his penis and all that.
Yeah, yeah. Shit, popped man. Out of the trunk and shit.
That shit went on to be a big role for him, huh?
Well, dude, it turned him into a star, dog.
A lot of fools would have said hell not to that role, huh?
That's a fucking catalyst to stardom now, though.
Hell yeah. One day I'll Gardner, the next day I'll be president on TV.
I think you should put that shit aside.
I still got to get the gardening part first, though.
Yeah, man.
You're talking shit. Like,
I know how.
I gotta get the role.
Hey, you don't fools be noticing on social media. But, hey, so whatever happened to that dog? I didn't see you in there, dog.
Yeah, man. I remember one time I was on a bus going to an audition, and I posted a photo of me on the bus with the audition, right? The struggle. But I posted a photo of the script and the bus because I was going on the bus to the audition. Mm-hmm. And there was never what happened on the way back. Oh, what happened on the way back? What happened on the way back? As soon as they told me thank you, I ripped that script, walked out of there. Fool, I remember I walked out of an audition one time. Okay.
This fool.
And, you know, Lisa drives, our producer, she drives a Toyota, right? Well, she drives a Toyota. And I was coming out of the audition, right? And she told me, I'm right here. I'm here. I'm waiting here outside, right? So there's I saw that she was making a left on the street. So I ran to the Toyota and I tried to open the door. And it wouldn't open. It wasn't. And then it wasn't even her, fool. It was another white lady. Ran over there, bro. And like she just took off. She probably told the cops some fat, long-haired Mexican guy just trying to carjack me right now.
Oh, yeah.
On Hollywood Way. And she has a good case because, man, how am I going to explain that shit? Do you just randomly walk up to cars and just open the doors?
And be, officer, I thought it was my wife's car.
I thought it was my wife's car. She said, I'm waiting outside. So you're going
to. Right there, she pulls up.
And illegally, you're going to go open up that?
Yeah, well, dude.
Imagine the door was open if I went in.
Well, I think if you would have seen a different lady, you'd, oh, shit, sorry, ma'am. I thought it was my wife. You know, close her real fast, dog. Don't run me over, ma'am.
Who married your fat ass?
That'd be funny, dog. But I was thinking.
I've done that before, though. I was coming out of that 7-Eleven, that 7-Eleven with a gas station right there by Ordonez.
We're in Montebello?
Yeah. I was coming out of there, bro, and I walked into some truck, and it wasn't some homeboy's truck or somebody else's.
What the fuck? Like,
what the fuck, eh?
Oh, they told you that?
Yeah.
Oh, sorry, dog.
Get off my lady, dog.
This fool got all the way inside and sat down. I didn't recognize it.
Put on my seatbelt, bro. Pass him the blunt.
Where we go? Give him that.
I've always got in the wrong car, man.
Yeah? Fuck, oh, dog. I don't think I've ever gotten in the wrong car, fool. I think I've gotten kicked out of a car that people couldn't fit because I wanted to ride, but whatever.
Damn, that's old school right there, man.
Yeah, get the fuck out of here, dog.
Only one car for the whole crew.
You're trying to get into somebody else's crew, they're like,
I remember we used to go deep like that to a club, bro. Five motherfuckers in the car, bro, going to the club.
The more the merrier, dog.
Five fools coming back. That's the saddest thing, bro. There's going to be five horny-ass fools at the taco truck, too. And five fools burping and farting back home, bro.
Hell yeah, dude. It's a team, fool. Five.
The furious five, bro, because they're all mad.
They didn't hook up, dog. It was a sad night.
I never saw a fool that would just make out with anybody, bro.
Fuck that, dog.
Anybody, fuck bro. That. Sweaty necks. He didn't care.
I made out with a fat chick once. I ain't trying to fucking say it. Like, this fool makes out with
her. It was yesterday.
Oh, fuck that. Like, but she was a real one, and she was a smoker, too. I think we fucking left you and Benny over there. You guys, Montebello, at the tortillas. But, dude, that was just fucking, dude, I didn't even know what I was doing, dog.
Dude, I've been with a big girl.
It was horrible,
though. I was going to say, yeah, but she was pretty, though. No, she was big, bro. Like, her calves were like, fuck, bro. Her calves were bigger than my thigh.
Oh.
She was big, man.
Tree trunk legs.
For real, bro. When she got, for real, man. It was one of the moments when I really felt like tapping out. Big, man. Big, dude. You know what? When she got on top of me, it felt like you know when you're carrying a couch down the stairs, and that motherfucker on top ain't holding it. That's how it felt like in the bottom, bro.
Dude,
that I had all the weight.
Take one more straw. This shit's gonna bust, dog. Oh my, jeez, boy.
Yeah, well, it was embarrassing because she had walked in on my house and the porno was still on, right?
And that's what it took to get me up.
The porno was still on, right? And it was anal sex porn, but it was. We opened the door where it was in the anal part. It was like in the part where you couldn't tell it was a man having sex with a woman or two men having sex. But if you don't know who the person you're with, you're going to be fucking watching gay porn. But when we came in, it did look like some gay ass porn. But it wasn't.
The lady had a bob, huh?
It wasn't, people. You can't get gay porn like back in the day like that. That was back in the day when I was renting, bro. When I was renting porn, fool.
You could walk out of there with a black bag?
Remember before, bro? Like the fucking, the porn section was hidden, bro. Like, hey, what's going on over there? I'm going to go see what's going on over there. And you go in there, bro, and fucking, there's fucking tons and tons of boxes.
Dude, you get tired of looking, dog.
I do that now on Pornhub. But tons of porn, bro. And I'm there, man, like it's a library, bro.
I'm
grabbing one porno.
Have volumes.
Yeah, man. I'm grabbing one porno and then trying to watch more porn in the back. Sometimes when I rent a porno, bro, I would just take it, man. Let me just borrow a couple of these cases.
I would be.
You rent to porn though?
Yeah, I've done it.
The one in Silver Lake?
Nah, dude. Oh. Back when in Riverside, like, dude, you know, there was always a bunch of creeps in there, dude. But I would just rent ones that had Asia Carrera and like Raylene and another one. That was it.
I didn't know names. I know more about porno names now than I knew did back then.
Yeah, I had my girls, dog.
I just knew all that fucking redheaded chick with the big tits.
Yeah, man.
Yeah, so I used to rent the porn, man, and I had it all planned out, bro. I had to go get fast food and shit. It was like a date, dog. It was like a date. I was single, I guess.
Go get food,
I was living in Denby, depressed, bro. Yeah, man, candles. I would get all happy, bro. I would get the, and it all planned out, bro. I would go to Ralph's and pick up like a soda or shit, or like a big 2 liter for my fat ass. And then I would go to that porno, get that porno, right? And then next door, go get that Chinese food from that lady.
I lived at home, so I was.
And then I get a donut, bro. You know, a donut to wash it down.
Dessert,
man. So I would get it was embarrassing because. I would also get one good movie, man. Can't get all pornos and shit. Fucking Lion King.
To cover muscle, walk around.
Man. I would get a couple of some good, like feel good movies, bro. Like French Kiss with French Kiss with Meg Ryan.
You've got mail.
Yeah.
Hey, but it was more exciting, like for porn back then, because like you had to get pornos like that. I think because now it's like you just click on that shit, you get like tired dog, fucking. But back then it was like you. Got it. Like,
no, back then, bro, you knew who the perverts were, bro.
How, bro?
Now, because they knew you, bro. Like, those girls, they look at you weird afterwards. Wow, man. So you're not going to get the other one no more?
Oh, okay.
Or you didn't rewind a porno? And they'll call you back and shit. You didn't rewind Debbie Does? Nah, I didn't get that movie.
Hey, fool, you know what's crazy about pornos? Those old ones in VHS? Fool, there was some long-ass ones, dog. Fucking like 6 hours, 4 hours.
It took me 10 years to watch that. Man.
I've never gotten to the end, except the Raylene ones or the my girl ones. But, you know, some fool's gimme one.
And it was always weird, man, when I'm in that porno section, and there's some dude walks in there with his buck-toothed girlfriend. They're looking for porno, and I'm trying to be their friend, eh? Take me with you guys, eh? Let me join in.
Oh, dude. Need someone to hold the camera, man. Fuck that.
But then those fools, man, I remember watching fools rent 5 pornos, bro. Like, who has that much time?
Yeah, dude. I always needed one and I would extend it a week, fool.
Look at Wrist Racer over here.
You said that fucking joke about going to fucking Petra's video. That shit.
I forgot that joke.
Yeah, fool. To get a porno and dude, Fucking funny, dog.
Oh, I said you will get to the, you want to get to the, that, you know, that, you can't get porno like at Blockbuster Video. You can't get porno at Hollywood Video. You gotta get porno like at the local porn store. You gotta get porno at the local video store. The video store that does cleaning too. Like Petra's Video, man.
Oh, yeah, dude. That shit was fun. Because those little places exist, fool. Those scandalous ass little fucking, those are gone now, though, dude.
They're gone, man.
VHS, dude. VHS.
I used to go, and then remember, how about those fools that thought, man, I wonder what those fools are doing right now, bro. Now they have Netflix and Amazon. Them fools that used to hang out the video store and shit, talking about, they knew everything about fucking movies.
For those Tarantinos, fool?
Yeah, those Tarantino motherfuckers.
Every fucking movie, they know everything, dude. They fucking break it down, fool. Fucking Siskel and Ebert style.
Oh, yeah, man.
Yeah, man. Fucking sitting here bald with a ponytail, man.
Like Rick Ramos had a...
Yeah, something. I don't know what the fucking title is, so I can't really give him a shout out.
It's called...
Fucking... Fool always has that fucking face like something spilled. Spilled the milk again. But yeah, they fucking does reviews on movies. The Godfather 3.
Man.
Spectrovision.
Did you ever go in like... When you went to those pornos, man, that you were like... See somebody's dad walk in there too?
No, I wasn't lucky like that to get some dirt on somebody from the community. But just like weird fools, dog. Like, you know, like this fool is like 40, lives with his mom still. Motherfuckers like that, fool.
Birdman.
He's 51 and still lives with his mom, man. Bro, who gave you a ride in that Maserati, bro?
It's a waiting game now. Who's going to retire first? Is him or his mom?
We're going to retire together, bro.
Dude, what, his brother showed up. Birdman's brother,
yeah,
Gilbert.
Yeah, yeah, the first. Oh, yeah, that was the first night. Or the second. That fool passed by me on the way to the floor, dog.
Oh, he passed
yeah,
out.
Yeah, his little bottle of Jack Daniels popped out, too.
Birdman's brother fell down like a crow.
He got the West Nile, you know? Yeah, dog. Forgot about that fool, dog. Who brought the familia out for the birthday, huh?
A lot of married ass fools show up, huh?
It's all couples, dog. You know what I mean? Representing NorCal, dog. You know? Nice to know there's still class in Pleasanton, you know?
I don't trust those people tailgating food, bro. Some of that food be getting old, bro.
Fuck, dude. Like, dude, I think fucking, I'm surprised. I'm sure there, if we research it, fool, there's a bunch of fools that get fucking foodborne illnesses from tailgating games, dog.
How about the
nasty shit?
There was one tailgating party that was huge. It was like a big old Mexican bus.
Yeah, they had a DJ. And, dude, I think there's pictures, though, but it was cool, dog.
Tailgating is all fun and games, bro. But you know what, man? Somebody's going to put that shit back in the car before the game starts.
Fuck that.
That's what I kept thinking, bro.
I'm going to be part of that booster club, dog.
I said, fuck that, man. I'm going to tailgate, bro, but I'm going to have to hire somebody from Home Depot, bro, to sit out here and collect cans for me and clean up.
Hell yeah, get a whole crew together. Fuck that, dog. No way, dog. I don't want to put all that shit down because they had fucking Mino. What are those easy ups and lights and barbecues and shit and fucking mess up? What's that shit? Chopping up meat, dog?
Come man, on. If your tailgating party is more has a more production than the fucking ESPN truck, you shouldn't be at the fucking game, bro.
There was some mean productions going on there, dog. Mean was big old fucking electrical cables and all that shit, dog. Dude, all those porter parties, too?
I think the Raiders game, bro, is the only game where you could get arrested if you bring your kid, bro, for child endangerment.
Hey, but remember, they had those undercovers, dog. Walking around, you could tell they were cops.
Hell yeah, bro.
Fool, like, come on. Who had a fucking haircut like that, dog?
Yeah, man. Who the fuck? You could tell, bro, they're cops because those motherfuckers do... They do like fucking 50 push-ups before they go to work.
Try to get all pumped. Because we were smoking bowls. It was cool with Flacco and shit. You know what I mean? But there was every now and then there was like kids around. But again, dude, ain't fucking no place for a kid.
So glad we drove back home, bro. You were tired, huh?
Dude, I was tired as fuck. And it's like, dude, if I'm not used to that car and have those like leather seats like this, I can take it for like a ride to the club and back, dude. But 5 hours, bro. I was like, Joe Diaz ready to complain on that U.S. Airways flight, bro. But whatever, dog.
Our flight was supposed to leave at noon.
Oh, that's fucking
leave
retard.
To 4.
Oh, dude, we didn't even go, huh?
No, but
they kept delaying it.
Yeah, by the time we got home, our flight was still on the ground.
Yeah, you drove, huh, fool?
Yeah, man.
Or to all the way to what? To Lost Hills.
To Lost Hills, Raza.
Hell yeah, dog.
What's up, fool?
With Benjamin Buttons, though.
So, we recorded Larry Bubbles Brown before the show started on Sunday, and this is Larry Bubbles Brown. Mer, Larry Bubbles Brown. We've been working. We know the first time we met this comedian, we met him when? 2011.
No, you did a show. You guys were up there, right? Together, yeah, maybe at the Punchline or something?
And then you met him at Tommy T's.
Yeah.
You were dying, bro.
He's fucking hilarious, bro.
So was Tommy T's telling a story about comedians be showing up with two, sleeping with, comedians be living with two girlfriends, bro.
Oh, dude.
One wife, bad enough. No, I'm just kidding. No, but still, man, what's so much drama?
I don't know, fool. Like,
what to put so much drama in their life, bro? I mean, one person to love is good enough, man. Two?
He's very modern. Because
you have two, bro. They're sizing up against you, bro.
Dude.
I'm telling you, man. Even if a woman is dating two men at the same time, those guys, they're going to compete with each other. They're going to do something, man. There's going to be a lot of bickering.
Start drugging that.
What do you think?
Off.
Yeah, right. Yeah, because you know what?
You know they're gonna never.
Especially
be cool.
like if one has a master's degree and one does none. I'm pretty sure none of them have a master's, huh? I don't think a woman with a master's degree would with her as much education as she has would go. You know what? So you met that woman at Walmart and you wanted both to live with you as girlfriend. Okay. I mean, I got a 4K plan somewhere already. You know, I'm an administrator here at this job, but I'm pretty sure I'll find a time to go on the road on weekend with you guys. I don't think there's a woman out there with a master's degree that wants to come and live with a movie star or a comedian. What do you think?
Oh, dude.
Do you ever get to that level where you're going to fall in love with two women and they're going to both agree and go, hang out with Rodrigo Torres and do exterminating on the side?
Who the fuck does he think he is? Frank Sinatra? I don't know. That's fucking crazy, dog. Think about it. In real life, you know, with one person, dog. Imagine. And then, you know, I don't think it'll ever be cool. Unless they sign contracts and do it like that. But who the fuck can sign contracts for that shit? It'll be like illegal, right? Because it'll be a bigamist or whatever. But I guess it's like, I don't know. Is he progressive or some shit? You know what I mean? The wave of the future, man. That's all that's happening.
I guess if you want a paycheck.
Yeah, that's true. You know what I mean? I don't think they'll be staying there if they don't get no cheese, dog. Because they're just one day they're going to get pissed and get up and leave, dog.
Well, I never told you about that book I read, huh?
Which one?
High Concept.
No, what's that about?
The Don Simpson story.
Oh, no, you were reading it and remember you lost it, right?
That guy's a freak, bro. He used to call up these high-priced hoes from that girl, Heidi Fleiss.
Mm-hmm. Back when she started?
$10,000 for each girl for the night, right?
God damn.
And this fool, dog, he used to, like, it's crazy, like, he'll have a girl peeing, right, on top of a girl's face. And then...
mean freak.
And then the fool be on the bottom too, bro.
Getting pissed on too?
Yeah.
Is that shit called a golden shower or some shit?
I don't know, man, but it shouldn't be called golden, bro, because golden should be something you achieve to get. Like, yeah, man, I got a golden ticket. But nah, man, nobody's thinking about a golden shower, bro. I don't want nobody to pee on me.
Fuck that.
Unless I'll pee on somebody, though. Like, that was somebody's thing. It was Felipe pee on me. Oh, man. I bet at that moment, I wouldn't be able to pee.
Yeah, I'd probably get stage fright, dude. You know, you're probably so used to pissing in your
I'd be like, hold on, let's go get me a Gatorade. Get me a Mountain Dew.
Who knows, man? Fuck, dude. That's freak probably, shit, though.
I don't mean to promote it, bro, but that's probably the best soda out there, huh?
Who?
Mountain Dew.
You like Mountain? That's your favorite soda?
I mean, I like Pepsi. I mean, I do like Pepsi and Coke, but...
You're all about the do?
But if I'm eating Taco Bell... Yeah? Taco Bell, bro, and Taco Bell... Bean burrito and Mountain Dew go together, bro, like peanut butter and jelly.
But yeah, dude, fucking Pleasanton, dog. It rocked, dude. Tommy T's. Remember when he did a little jump shot, fool? I was about to hashtag that fool greatest of all time, dog. That's funny, dude. I was going to tell you last week that I was like, greatest of all time was like, I barely find out what that meant. That hashtag, G-O-A-T.
I thought you knew that, bro.
Fuck no. I
thought you kept saying the GOAT. I said this fool. I kept saying saying the GOAT too.
Because Earl the GOAT Manigault, I'm that's every why. Great fool was named after him.
That's why.
Retard fool. I greatest of all time.
I'm for reals. When you were saying the GOAT, I thought you were crazy fool talking about the GOAT too. But then they kept saying he's the GOAT, the GOAT. And then I kept thinking about that guy in the movie.
Yeah,
like, Earl, fuck you, he ain't the GOAT. That guy was way better than this motherfucker.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's a bad movie, though.
Yeah, if that's all fucking talent.
Yeah, man. Knowledge. And I didn't know that the GOAT meant the greatest of all time.
Yeah, retard.
But here I'm repeating you, bro. I thought you knew.
You know me. Sometimes I'm a little fucking loopy, you know?
He's the GOAT, bro. The Chivo. Greatest cholo of all time.
You know how you like titles, eh?
That's funny, man.
I have a lot of friends, but this is my best friend. What are you going to say, bro?
It wouldn't mind no good for Christmas, bro. Fucking your phone, eh?
I'm going to get a smoker, eh? I'll make a smoker better than John. Risky, brother.
Who's all happy, huh?
Oh, fool. It's the holidays. With little grandkids and shit running around.
How long did it take Pops to open a prison, bro?
Like 3 years, arms. Dog.
If I was there, man, I would put extra tape on his prison, bro.
It's that little fucking little car.
That fool opens up every prison like it's a straitjacket.
Like a bobcat. Yeah, man. Fucking greatest of all time, fool. Stinkiest breath of all time.
A lot of comedians talk about, man, yeah, man, I'm going to spend time with my family, man, you know. But if they had a gig, they'll leave. I had to leave a lot of Christmases, bro.
Because gigs?
Because of gigs. Because motherfuckers think they're going to be radio the next day and there's no radio.
Oh, shit, dude. Killing me.
What's up, fool? I got my Christmas tree up, bro. It's plastic, you know, so it won't burn. It'll melt.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, man.
Right, man.
What's up, fools? Check out our podcast. Don't forget my dates again. My dates are upcoming shows. December. My glasses. I got 3 pairs of glasses now. I lost one. I lost 2, and I found 1, and 2 came in the mail.
You can't see up close, huh? That's what it is?
I can't see up close at all. Upcoming shows. Next week, December 18 and 19, I'll be at the Chumash Casino. That's Chumash Casino with Hal Sparks. New Year's Eve weekend, Ontario Improv. December 31st through January 3rd. January 1st, Friday, 1 show, 8 o'clock. New Year's Eve, I'll be at the Ontario Improv. Don't forget, Ontario Improv. January 14th through the 17th, Kansas City Improv, people. I'm going to Kansas City. Kansas City. Here I come. January 21st through the 24th at Tommy T's in Rancho Cordova. Tell somebody. It's in Sacramento. Yeah. We are live. We're via satellite from Tommy T's Comedy Club. 40 minutes before the show starts. We're doing it, man. Birdman, don't let no one in, bro. I don't care who it is. If they have a spot, just put a sign up there, please. We're recording a live show for MSNBC, and we don't need nobody in here. What's up, fool? Okay, I'm kind of loud. Let's check our microphones. Check 1, 2. Let's see bubbles. Alrighty. We're here with Rodrigo. What's up, fool?
Yeah, man. Chilling right here.
What's up, fool? We're here with legend, man. Larry Bubbles Brown from the Bay Area, from Hayward, right?
You're right close to Hayward. The only reason I'm alive is because you two keep doing my little
murr.
I would have killed myself 3 years ago. You guys keep me going.
Man, so we're here at Tommy T's, man. Sold out shows. We just got back from the Raider game.
Hell yeah. What a horrible loss.
Oh, horrible loss.
Wow, yeah.
Yeah, we got there early and Birdman picked us up in a Maserati.
Really?
Yes. 4 guys who can't spell Maserati, but they're in a Maserati. Mer, put your microphone closer. All you have to do is drive the headliner, huh?
Yeah, so if you could pick somebody up, you had a gig. So
that was more fun than working at day job.
Yeah, man. So we're going to have to share this microphone over here. Bro. I don't think I can hear him.
Really can't hear me?
Yeah.
Oh, sorry.
Maybe I don't have it on.
Maybe they're on
now. Is it on now?
Oh, it's on now.
Sorry.
Oh, my God. Okay.
Mer. Took me 33 years to learn mic technique, and I still don't have it down.
Check 1, 2. Mic 2.
All right. There we go.
So, okay. Were you there at the original Comedy at the Park?
Yeah, I did the third year because I started in 81. My first one was 83, and then the guy from the Tonight Show saw me. I almost got the Tonight Show, and that was like a big deal back then. And I was having a freaking out then, but that was such a I came so close, and I think I lost my will to go on after that, but. But we had the big comedy scene. Robin Williams is around. Robin is already famous doing Mork and Mindy. And the month I started was the month that remember when Reagan got shot by the guy named Hinckley?
Yes.
And the first time I saw Robin, I either looked like John Hinckley or I was that creepy because Robin came up to me and said, "Good evening, Mr. Hinckley," and he kept calling me Mr. Hinckley for months after that. So that was my first encounter with Robin Williams.
So you started at what was the name of the place you started? Hills?
Holy City Zoo.
Holy City Zoo. Where's that?
It was a bar on Clement Street. And
Frisco?
Yeah, in San Francisco, 4th and Clement. And there was a little town called Holy City down by Santa Cruz. And they had a zoo. And the guy that owned the bar, the zoo closed. So he got all the furniture from the zoo. And they all these chairs and stumps. And that's why they call it the Holy City Zoo.
Damn.
It sat like 70 people. It was about as big as this lobby, but it had all the good comics that come through there and play it. It had a kind of legendary status.
Did the host wear a safari hat?
Yeah.
That's part of the deal.
We went on many cougar hunts.
what was the vibe back then? Since it was new, it was not that new because. Steve Martin was doing stand-up comedy, too.
Steve Martin was big in about 77, 78. And,
you already heard of him?
I saw him before I started comedy. He played a place called the Boarding House in San Francisco, and I saw him like a year before he got famous. The tickets were $5.
Oh, wow.
It was kind of like an underground thing. It's before the internet or anything, but everyone's talking. This is the guy, and they were all excited. And like a year later, he's like I think he was probably the hugest thing in stand-up, right?
Really?
Yeah.
No one got bigger than Steve Martin.
No.
At that time?
Yeah. And then he did it for a couple of years, and he got into movies, and he quit stand-up completely.
Was he funny?
Yeah, he was great. He was just totally different than anybody I've ever seen. But
he was what people call alternative now?
Yeah, definitely. He came out with a banjo and a white suit. And
an arrow in his head?
An arrow in the head.
Straight silly or what?
It was really silly stuff, yeah, but I don't know, the crowds were just so into it, and he was selling out huge arenas.
Huge for a comedian, huh?
Yeah, I don't think anyone ever became that big after him.
Did Cheech and Chong start with around the same time, or were they already before you?
I think they were already big from the movies before then, yeah.
Because the movie came out, 77, huh? 78?
Up in Smoke?
Around that time, dude.
Was there a lot of open mic over there when you started, or it was everyone got paid?
It was an open mic, and the comics would work other gigs, and then they would come back to the Holy City Zoo after their gig. So everybody would be there at 12 or 1 in the morning. There'd be three audience members and a bunch of comics screwing around. And that's where you learn to be funny.
So you knew the guy that opened up the Punchline, the original guy? The concert promoter.
Oh, Bill Graham.
Bill Graham, yeah.
I didn't know him, but the Punchline was owned by somebody else when I started. Bill Graham bought it the first year I started comedy. The Punchline was kind of dumpy, and then he came in and fixed it all up. And, you know, he was a really smart guy, and I think he probably saw that the boom was about ready to start. So he bought the Punchline and then fixed it up, and that became a huge club. And then he had a Punchline in Sacramento, and there's another one out here in the Walnut Creek in the suburbs. So.
There was one in San Jose, huh?
Never had one in San Jose.
No, just Walnut.
But there was one in Walnut Creek?
Walnut Creek,
it's gone now?
That's long gone, yeah. Closed 20 years ago.
Oh, wow.
That was my favorite club. There were so many hot chicks out there. It was great.
And they were booming?
Yeah. It was 250 seats. It was sold out. The first few years, every show was sold out.
Drop a lot of Pink Steel over there? Or what?
The Pink Steel was... Little in joke here with us.
Gotta
give the girls some pink steel to keep them happy.
That old mer.
So you were headlining all over the country, or just like in?
in the 1988, there was 14 full time clubs around here
in California.
In the Bay Area, within
50 miles.
Really?
I didn't have to go on the road. I'd sometimes take a gig in Vegas or San Diego just because I liked it. I never had to travel.
Really?
There was 14 full-time clubs and a bunch of one-nighters that paid really well. And I kept telling everybody, this isn't going to last. It isn't going to last. And it didn't. I proved right. Now we're all bordering on homeless, except for you guys. You're still, you're like the new boom.
The new boom. The
boom, boom.
Boom, boom.
The after the Def Jam boom.
Boom, boom, Esparza. The new, that'd be a good name for you. Boom, boom.
When you start noticing the decline of stand-up, like when you start saying, wow.
I could
when
tell.
People were falling out, you started, wow. You started seeing friends give up or quit.
Well, I kept a record, and from the year I started, I always watched how much money I made, and it went up every year, till 91. 91, it dipped a little. Then the next year, it dipped a lot. And
okay, NASDAQ over here, right?
Yeah, and there was a guy from David Wood, who's a comic that owned a club in Minnesota, and he told me, like, in 90, he said, business is going down. He said, this thing's going to end. I swear, and he's dead right, too, and that's what happened. And like you said, I think it was cable and
HBO, one-hour specials.
Yeah. And then
Evening at the Improv.
It just seemed like, though, in the 80s, people liked to go out, you know. You could drive drunk and nobody really cared. And they cracked down on that.
Cocaine was better.
Cocaine was great.
Too much regulation, huh?
Too much regulation. Now the girls can't snort cocaine off your pink steel like they did in the 80s.
Did you do a lot of partying back then?
No, drinking? I was. I'm so square. I tried cocaine 3 times. That's the only drug I've ever done in my life. And all it did was make me nervous. And I get the same feeling by riding public transit. So why pay $60 for an 8-ball?
And you're one of those dudes that don't like shaking hands or hugging people.
No, I got a germ phobia. See, I'm sitting on paper here. I've heard what's happened on this couch.
Mer.
Yeah, man. John Favreau laying here.
You don't want to put a black light on this thing.
You don't.
There's been a lot of legs in it. More legs in the air than a dead centipede on this couch.
When was the first time you came to Tommy T's?
First time. Tommy had one of the first clubs in San Leandro, which is right across the bay from SF, and I worked for him in 82. So he got in on it early. And he's probably survived longer than any club owner I know.
Just because opened up a steakhouse.
Yeah, open a steakhouse and a commie, two very healthy things. Clog your arteries and have a laugh.
So do you have a lot of groupies coming up?
No. At my age, I can't get a cougar. Yeah, my days are over, so I just live vicariously through you youngsters.
My days are over.
So I'm done.
You never tried pot before?
Never tried pot.
Really?
No.
Wow.
I know.
Mer.
What would I do if I did?
Write jokes. I don't know.
Well, it might make me. People say it makes them write more, right?
Yeah, creatively. You know?
Creatively? I don't know.
Start shining up that comedic whistle?
I heard some guys say it makes them paranoid, so I'm sure that's what would happen to me.
It makes Birdman paranoid, bro.
Yeah.
And where are you from? Are you from this area?
I'm from Ohio.
Oh,
what part of Ohio?
Cincinnati.
Huh.
You moved out here to be a comedian?
I haven't been back. Yeah, I moved out here. My family moved out here, and I tagged along with them, and I just did some dead-end payroll jobs for the federal government, and then I started hearing about open mics. I kept hearing open mics, and I always wanted to do comedy. So I went down one night to the Punchline, and they're open mic in 1980. And I thought, you know, these guys haven't been on TV. They're going to suck. And I was blown away by how funny some of these guys were. So I watched for a year, and then I went up and did my first five minutes. The thing I did, I was so afraid to go on, and I saw this woman bomb so badly one night. And I just thought, there's no way I can be as bad as she was. So a person that was horrible actually gave me the impetus to actually try this. And where did you do your first set?
I did my first set at the Natural Fudge on Fountain Avenue in Hollywood. It was a vegetarian restaurant.
Really?
But I didn't know the vegetarian. I just thought it was weird because the owner kept saying, try the nut burger. Try the nut burger. And I said, no, I don't want to try that. No nut burger.
But you had thought about doing comedy for a while.
Yes, for a long time.
Long to say, and you, so you developed a little, like 3 minutes before you went up there?
No, I just went up there with some horrible jokes. And then I improvised, and I made fun of two people in the audience, got laughs, and got off the stage.
So it went okay.
Yeah, it went okay.
Yeah, my first few times went okay, too. So
my ninth time when I started, like, bombing.
I bombed the first time, my second month, and I remember I almost quit after that. It was so painful.
How bad was it? Was it a big audience?
Yeah, it was the open mics would be packed on a Tuesday night, and usually kill, and then I went up and had my first bad set, and I didn't know how to, I've been used to them laughing at everything. when they didn't laugh, I go, fuck, what's wrong?
That happened to me. Right? I'm getting laughs going to the same club every week, and then by the fifth week, they already know my jokes. I'm bombing now. Well, this guy sucks.
They pulled the rug out from underneath my feet.
It's like banging a chick, and suddenly she's not responding anymore. You liked it before. What happened?
Murr. What was the first joke you wrote?
The first joke I wrote was a horror. I remember it. It was, I said, I almost didn't make it here tonight. I was in a freak accident. I ran over a midget. That was my first joke. And he's got pretty much the same response. But actually got it. People stared at me. Then it actually got a couple of laughs. But I remember the first joke. I got on stage. You're blind when you're up there, and I didn't think I was going to be able to speak. And finally, the joke came out, and it did get a couple of laughs. And I got through it, and it went okay.
When'd you come up with myrrh?
Myrrh, that was for my germ phobia. I don't like to shake hands. So I used to, when I was a kid, I used to point my hand at people and go, "Murr." So, I swear to God. I've done this for 30 years.
Murr.
Murr.
And then it was like, God, I did it in 98 at Tommy T's in Concord. And one night I was just on stage and went, "Murr." And the crowd went insane. So I've been beating into the ground ever since. And it's really annoying.
Murr.
You got t-shirts or bumper stickers that say, "Murr."
I got bumper stickers. Murr.
That's funny. What your envelope said? It said myrrh on it.
I think we should do a commercial. I got my myrrh envelope. We should do a commercial where we could sell a Honda just by going myrrh.
Myrrh, the Honda Fit myrrh.
How many miles to the gallon? Myrrh.
More myrrhs per gallon. Myrrh.
You can even bank a check in here. Myrrh.
Back then when people were like, now when people do stand-up comedy, they're like so... They're so business. They're both. A lot of people are startup business oriented. They get a podcast.
Oh yeah.
They start getting a guest list. They start getting people on a guest list, writing jokes with a bunch of people. What were people doing back then? Just performing?
It was performing.
And getting laid, huh?
Interesting you say that, because the woman that ran the Holy City Zoo, she became Robin Williams' personal assistant for years, and she watched comedy for a long time, and she said the thing that ruined comedy, she said, was when you guys started making money. Because when you weren't making money, it was just, we were writing new sets every week, trying to be creative. Then you start making money, and you go, I can't afford to bomb, they won't rebook me. So you just kind of get in the rut, and you only go with the tried and true stuff. So, yeah, it was more creative before the business. Now it's all business. Podcasts, bumper stickers that say, meh.
T-shirts.
T-shirts.
Vine.
My web presence.
Instagram.
Myrrh condoms.
Snapchat.
Merchandise.
Merch. That's good. Merch.
Merchandise. Well, back then, you just had to perform. Man, there must have been like superstars, like guys who just getting laid every week, huh?
It was crazy.
What was that like for you?
Yeah, because I'd never had any women before, and suddenly I was starting to meet women. I couldn't believe it. And that was fun, and the... On the local scene in San Francisco, we were like minor celebrities. There was a guy that made buttons with our pictures on them, and he showed up at the Punchline when I was selling them, like souvenirs at ball games. And he didn't give us a cut, but he was selling buttons with our pictures of our faces on them. It was just so popular. It'll never happen again.
How did comedy at the Park get started? It still goes on, right?
It still goes on. It's not nearly the crowd they used to have. I think they get a couple of thousand, but like I said, it was 40,000 for a few years there. And that was all Jose Simone, and they dedicated to him every year.
Jose Simone friends with all the comedians, like Robin
Williams.
Yeah,
he knew everybody. He started with Robin and those guys.
He did improv then. He was
an improver, and Robin was an improver, and they go away. They go back to like the mid-70s, I think.
Damn.
And were they the godfathers of the scene right here in the Bay Area?
Yeah, definitely. Uh-huh.
They started before the clubs and all that shit?
Yeah, they were just playing like little like spaghetti factories and things like that. There was no clubs then. And they started doing it at bars and things. And then Robin went and did... Robin got on Mork and Mindy.
Blow up, huh?
That blew up. That's when TV shows were getting like... I think that show was getting 40 million viewers a show, and then
damn.
Then he would come back, and he would drop into the clubs, and because he's famous, suddenly the word got out. Robin's dropping into the Holy City Zoo, and so people had never been to comedy before started coming out, and I think he's really responsible for the boom here because people just started coming out and hoping to see him. Then they saw other comics were really funny, and that really got everybody in the whole comedy thing. So Robin's very much responsible for it all.
When, did you audition for that Young Comedian show that Robin Williams was hosting for Rodney?
I did. I came so close to getting it too, and then
Rodney said Murr.
You know,
I almost got the one. No, that was the year before. I almost got an 87, and I auditioned in L.A. and they said, okay, we're pretty sure you got it. Then they came up to San Francisco the next week and they said, we just want to see you one more time. I had a crappy set, and a local comic named Jeff Bolt had the set of his life, and he got it that night.
The set of his life.
So, but here's a story about. So I just went off, and I just left. You know, San Francisco is always foggy. I just disappeared into the fog, and Robin was there, and he said, "Where did Bubbles go?" And some comic said, "Oh, he's probably going to jump off the bridge." And Robin thought the guy was serious. And this is before cell phones. I'm lying at home at 2 in the morning. I get a call. It's Robin. He somehow found my number. This is when you couldn't get a hold of anybody. He found my number. And he just wanted to check up on me. He said, are you okay? And I said, yeah. And he said, I thought you were going to go off the bridge. I said, well, I'm disappointed, but it wasn't that big a deal. And then
I'm disappointed.
He said, I'll see you around the campus. But that's, you know, he's always doing stuff like it. He was always like really concerned about people. Most comics, you know, are just slit your throat. And he was just always helping people. So that's... I think why everybody loved him so much.
When did you audition for Letterman the first time? How many times did you audition before you got it?
Well, I did I'd done the Letterman show the month before I lost the Young Comic special. That was 87. They saw me in 85 and I had a really great set, and they said come back to New York and do one more audition. And I came back to New York and bombed. Then I had to do two more auditions, and I finally got it. So it took me 2 years from the first time.
This for Eddie Brill or someone else?
That was Robert Morton.
Robert Morton.
Who was, he became Letterman's producer for a few years. Yeah.
What was that audition like? You had to submit a tape or they saw you live?
They saw you live, yeah. So you go into the 5 minutes, and then... You've been through those auditions. They're horrible. So the crowds are pretty wired. So out here, I just killed. Then when I went back to New York, I bombed so bad. I thought they'd never see me after that. Then I came back. Yeah, it was horrible. And then I had a couple of good sets. I said, okay, you can do it. But,
what happened in New York?
I came out to New York, and I forget what the joke was, but it had been killing out here. And I opened with that joke, and I heard this woman go, "Oh, that's disgusting." And nobody... So I'm up there for 5 minutes, and it seemed like an hour, and just absolutely not one laugh. It was embarrassing. You talk about then a 6-hour plane flight home, so you can imagine how much fun that was. I should have gone out the window that night. Yeah. Robin wouldn't have been able to stop me that night. I'm jumping. Oh, God. You're bringing back some memories now.
So you auditioned for that and you got it, huh?
I got it, yeah. So I did Letterman, and then I...
You got a lot of work right after?
Then you got a lot of work off that, a lot of chicks.
That was 87.
Yeah, 87.
That's and it how slowed down in 91.
You meet a woman, and you bring her back to your... You take her to dinner, you bring her back to your place, you pop the old VHS Letterman tape.
I thought I was the only one who did that.
That was the seduction technique of the 80s.
So then seduction technique.
So then Morton, right there. So I'm trying to get back on Letterman again, and I did, and they changed producers, and then I did the show in 08. So I hold the record for longest time between appearances, 21 years.
Wow.
Tight.
Yeah, I should be in the Guinness Book of Records. So if Letterman had stayed on, I would have been doing the show in 2029. Said every 21
you
years.
The second time, where did you audition at? New York again?
Eddie Brill came out here and they had a showcase locally, and I did it. And
you got the first time, or you got to audition again and again?
I had to. Here's what happened. I had to. He said, "I want to put you on the show, but there could be a problem because you're too old." So, you know, TV is very
open. They told you that?
TV is very open about the discrimination if you're too old. Now, I know how it feels to be discriminated against. It's not nice. And then, but he said, I'll work on it, and he did. And
so you did it again, what, 90-something?
I did it in 2008.
Oh, wow. You get more work?
Yeah, it did give me a little more work and credibility. Then I started opening for – I ran into Dana Carvey, one of the guys who I'd seen when I – he was on the way of getting big when I started out. And he started using me as his opening act, and he still does. So it helped me with him, and he's great too. You should have him on the show.
Is he a Frisco
guy? I'd love to have him on.
Yeah. And he's down in L.A. now, so his kids are doing comedy now.
Is he a Frisco guy?
Yeah, yeah.
So is he responsible as well for the little
thing? Yeah, he was one of the big players when I started, yeah. Then he went back and did Saturday Night Live in 86, and then I didn't see him for about 20 years. And then we hooked up, and I started opening for him. Now his kids are opening for him, so we're all getting old.
You also opened for Dave Attell, right?
Opened for Dave Attell, Dana Carvey, Felipe Esparza.
And Norm MacDonald.
And Norm MacDonald.
Yeah.
And Rob Schneider. Everyone that's on Saturday Night Live.
Kevin Nealon.
I'm the default. I'm the default opener. Yes.
Kevin Nealon.
Murr. I hear in the twilight of your life, you know.
Pretty much, yeah. You guys are keeping me afloat.
So you have worked with at the Punchline, Vegas. Where'd you work in Vegas?
I used to work at the Riviera.
What's his name?
Steve Sciarippa, who became a big actor in The Sopranos and done a lot of sitcoms. Great guy.
That's Bacalaca, right?
Yeah.
Bobby Bacala. People don't know that. Bobby Bacala used to book the Riviera Comedy Club in Las Vegas.
In Vegas, and now he's got a bigger career than anyone he ever booked.
You told us a story how he slapped up a comedian for going over his time.
Yeah,
right?
I guess. I don't know how long the guy did, but you're supposed to do 10 minutes when you open there, and the guy came off stage, and he started slapping the back of his head. And he goes, when I tell you to do 10 minutes, you don't do 10:01 or 9:99.
At least he didn't get punched in the gut.
Awesome.
Have you done a lot of black rooms?
I do. I used to do a black room in Oakland called Dorsey's Locker. And I love that. You know Lunel?
Yeah, Lunel. We had her on the show too.
Okay. She used to be the host there. And I would go over there, and I always did pretty well with black audiences, and she liked me. And the first time I went there, she goes, if you get heckled, don't say anything, because a lot of our customers are packing heat. And I went over there, and I got a standing ovation there one night. So that was some of the most fun I ever had over there. But that was a rough room, and most of my black friends wouldn't go there. And I was the only white guy. So. Dorsey's Locker. And Lunel was, she would do like a half an hour between each act and just be drinking. And she's amazing. So.
She's doing well herself.
Yeah, she got a great career now. Love her.
Kicking ass, dude.
So you knew her back then, huh?
Yeah, yeah.
So you know a lot of Bay Area comedians, huh?
Yeah, I just, I never ventured out of here much, so my whole world's in the Bay Area.
How about Reno?
Don't know Reno very well. I like it. I should move up there. It's cheaper.
You ever work with an unknown comic?
No.
What's his name?
I don't know, dude.
The unknown Murray Langston.
Murray Langston,
the guy that had the bag on his head. Yeah, I used to watch him. He used to be on
Make Me Laugh.
Make Me Laugh in the Gong Show.
The Gong Show, yeah.
Yeah, that was it. That was before I was doing stand-up. So.
And I think he was on one of the young, Ronnie Dangerfield Young Comedian Shows, I think.
Back in the day.
Because one time he was performing on stage, and it was a sketch, and this woman shows up. You're the father of my son. And she's holding a baby, and the baby has a little baby bag.
Over his head?
A little baby bag.
Oh, that's funny.
That's actually so stupid. It's funny.
Oh, that's hilarious.
Some of the stupidest things are hilarious to me.
There's nothing funnier than something that's really stupid, right?
Oh, hell yeah, dude. That's just the shit, dude.
What was the funniest joke that made you laugh when you said?
One of the first guys I ever saw at the Punchline had this joke. It was his name was Tony Arquello, and I only saw him once, and I never saw him again. Someone told me he moved to Las Vegas, but he said he had this joke where. Somebody didn't like his act, and they came up after the show and said, I'm going to beat you senseless. And he said, I pleaded with him just to hit me till I couldn't smell anymore. Beat him senseless. That was so stupid. I was the only one in the club laughing. I'm on the floor.
You know, it's funny. I tell people about you, like I told Russell Peters. I don't know if you met Russell Peters.
I haven't met him, no.
I met him, and he goes, And then he texts me because I told him about you and I told him your jokes. And he told me about this other comedian that he likes. And Stuart Francis, I think his name is, out of Canada. And I said, nah, man, this guy's better than that guy. And then, so now every time he sees me, he goes, Murr.
Really?
And he never met you, but always says, Murr.
Murr. I'm so honored, man. I saw him on, he was judge on Last Comic Standing. He just seems like such a really nice guy.
He's a real nice guy.
And he was like, he was doing comedy a long time before he hit big, right?
Yeah, a long time. He was real nice. I was with him, and I was in Tampa, Florida, headlining with Rodrigo and another comedian, and Dom Herrera was headlining another comedy club in Tampa, and Russell Peter was performing at a big theater, by the way. Big 2,000 seater, sold out the whole thing. Me and Dom Herrera didn't sell that in 6 days. So he took us he gave us a ride in his private jet back home.
Oh, man.
He goes, hey, guys, I got two extra seats. You guys want them? All right.
When you got a private jet, that's big time.
Yeah, man.
Hell yeah.
That's one I don't like to fly, but I always want to do a private jet, and I've never done that yet.
How about a Maserati?
I've got a friend who has a Maserati, so I've been in one of those.
It's his name Birdman.
Did you like the Maserati?
Yeah.
Was it the four-door?
Four-door.
Okay. Is that the Quattroport?
I don't know what that is.
I don't know. I guess so.
It means four doors. Quattro. I think. In Italian, Quattroport.
So you started with Dana Carvey, Robin Williams.
Oh, those guys were big when I started.
They were big when you started?
They were already on their way, yeah. Robin already done more comedy.
Did you sense that on some comedians that they were going to be big?
Let's see. The guys that came up after me, you know who came up after me is really shy. With Margaret Cho.
Margaret Cho?
Rob Schneider and I started the exact same time.
How was a pit bull comedy?
Slayton was big when I started. He was
huge.
He was packing the punchline four times a year in 1980.
Damn.
And I went. He was the first guy I ever saw. He was so unpolitically correct, and I'd never seen anything like that. So I was really attracted to him. He's one of the first guys I saw here. He was amazing. He's still at it. He just turned 60.
Yeah.
So
you saw Joe Lopez coming up when he started?
No.
He was already big, huh?
Yeah. Who else?
Paul Rodriguez.
Lopez, yeah.
Lopez. Right now.
Lopez was like one of the, he worked so hard in his act. You could just tell he was really driven. He worked hard in his act. I think he's one of those, Paula Poundstone used to do that. They would record their acts every night. Paul used to record her act and then would write it out by hand just to make her better at remembering stuff. And so I'm like lazy, so I don't do that stuff, you know. I just go home and go, and go to bed.
I record it and I listen to it over and over, but I don't take notes. I just take mental notes. Mm-hmm. Unless it's a real, real important note that I gotta take, I take it. But if it's something that, I do listen to my set though.
Yeah, I think so.
I gotta memorize it somehow.
I've always been bad, man. Most of my jokes are really short, so they're hard to remember them all.
You write them down still?
I write them down, doesn't seem to help. And now, I'm practically senile now, so I can't remember. Lucky to do 35 minutes anymore. I'm done.
When was the last time you did an hour where you used 60 minutes or over?
Oh, 20 years ago. I did 45 last year, and I finally remembered a lot of stuff, but I just can't remember everything anymore. So I should find a new... Maybe does Russell Peters need someone to clean his pool? I need a career change.
So when did you start writing all your bits? Did you ever write down all your bits one by one to remember them?
No, I probably should, But again, I'm too lazy, so.
I'll just add myrrh.
You just shoot from the hip?
Huh?
You just shoot from the hip?
I could riff better when I was younger, and now I love those guys who can do crowd work. You're pretty good at that. Rodrigo's good at that. But that looks like it's so much fun because, sometimes, even when you're killing, if you're doing an old bit, it's not fun because you feel, I'm so tired of this joke, and people are laughing. You go, I hate this. But if you can work the crowd, you get a laugh. That's spontaneous and new. I think that's probably the best thing.
So you worked with John Fox? You knew
I worked
him?
With him a few times. I don't think he liked me, but I worked with him a few times. Yeah, he
was. He took my hookers.
He took my hooker.
Did you ever see him do anything crazy?
What have I seen crazy? I got so many stories. I should remember these things.
orgies.
I always feel bad when people tell Robin Williams stories because I feel like
Farrell Theater. Anything in there?
Carl's.
How about Neil Hamburger? You know him?
No.
You don't know Neil Hamburger, no. The comedian? You heard of him though?
No.
No.
I'm out of the loop.
He's a. Was he like 50 years old?
Has to be
55.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah. So he's probably dude. I know he's a bit older than 45.
So there's old guys that are doing well.
No, I don't know if he's doing well, but he does have a podcast. I don't know who, and he does bars.
I know he's been getting bars. A lot of recognition lately.
Yeah, he does a lot of bars, like really like bars.
One night when people come out to see him,
is he funny?
He's on stage with like five drinks, holding five drinks at the same time. And he drinks them all.
Really?
Says a bunch of crazy shit.
Yeah, about Michael Jackson. So, are you a vegetarian, vegan?
I was for 3 years.
Because you're all into like protecting the elephants.
I you love talk the about elephants. That? And after talking to you last night, I know you're a vegan. I
love the elephants, but I don't like the bashing of whales publicly. People fucking up dogs.
Eating
their dogs in public pisses me off.
Any animal cruelty story gets me so depressed, and I'm so depressed now about the elephants that they're being killed in Africa. They're probably going to be extinct. I've actually thought about some people go over there with guns and shoot poachers. I've actually thought about doing that. Might be a nice way to end my mediocre comedy career.
Mer.
Bang. Safari hunt. Safari hunt with Larry Bubble Brown.
Crocodile.
Taking out poachers.
Crocodile mer. I'd be like Crocodile Dundee. Mer.
You should have seen this. Was all so
when did you start drawing attention to the elephants? I go to your page every once in a while and I see all these stories.
I heard about it like 2 or 3 years ago. I didn't even know this was going on. Then I started doing some research, and they're killing about 100 a day just for the tusks. And most of this goes to China because it's a symbol of wealth to own ivory over there. So 100 a day, so it's 36,000 a year, and there was 1980 there was 10 million elephants, now there's 400,000.
Are you serious?
Yeah. So anything,
a lot of them are born in zoos now, huh?
Yeah, that's probably the only place you're going to see them in about a decade, unless somebody does something about it.
What you think about that dentist though, man? Who shot that? What did he shoot? A lion or a bear?
Cecil the lion.
Cecil the lion. Yeah, I wish. I was so hoping he'd be dead by now, but
shit. The real tragedy is how much he charges for a fucking root canal. Mer.
Mer. I got a bad tooth, man. What am I, a lion?
I know, poor lion. Jesus, just so I don't know.
How could somebody shoot an elephant, bro? Just for the tusk?
Trophy
people need
hunting.
Money, huh?
They want to put that big old.
But they kill them and they take the tusk out and just leave them there though with no tusk.
Sometimes they're using power saws and the elephant's still alive.
Oh yeah, to cut them out.
Yeah,
yeah, that's brutal shit, man.
That's crazy. It's
the most
man.
Brutal thing ever, man. We gotta get over. Let's get a gun and get over there.
It's good. Let's send the A team. Dun dun dun.
You and Russell, we should do a benefit for elephants.
Yeah.
Awareness of this. I'll supply the mar.
Also pray the boom! Where'd you go? So pray the tree trunks.
But I've been around a lot. You know, I tell you about it. You start to feel old when I know Marcella was open for you.
And Chris Doran.
I met her 10 years ago at the San Jose Improv before she was doing comedy. She came to see me and Dave Attell at the Improv there. And I met her. And then now she's doing great. And you just feel like, wow, I've been around a long time. People come up to me as fans. And now their career's past mine. Just a big cycle.
No, I started like in 1994, 96, my first time.
At the fudge?
Natural fudge.
Natural
fudge. It was not a fudge packing place. It was just natural fudge. But they didn't sell fudge.
No?
No.
And how long did it take for you to come back and do the second set?
Oh, next week.
Next week.
And that guy, he was very excited. And he told me, we're tipping a television show next week. But it was local access television show, mm-hmm. But I thought it was the big times. So I dressed up like Fuzzy Bear.
And when did you first do the first real comedy club you did?
Man, the first real comedy club didn't happen until 1990, August of 90. I don't remember, man. It was August of 97, I think. 96? Yeah.
96. It was a Tuesday.
It was a Tuesday.
July of 96 was the Olympics when they had the bombing. So you and where did you beat Rodrigo?
I met Rodrigo at the Wild Coyotes in Montebello.
It was called Tortillas back then.
Tortillas. He showed up in a motorcycle. with weed smoke in it.
And how long ago was that?
2001.
2001.
So you've been friends for 14 years.
Yeah.
That's cool, man.
A long ass time. I used to work with Gabriel Iglesias.
Most comedy friendships don't last that long, so you guys got a long standing. That's good. Gabriel Iglesias, I did a Make Me Laugh in December of 97. He was 18, I think. It was his first show, and he was on the show with me, and nobody knew who he was.
I auditioned for that.
He was kind of a scare. Remember Make Me Laugh? It was a horrible show, but it was fun to do.
You didn't do that one?
Yeah, I auditioned, but I didn't get it.
Yeah, that was nice.
Hey, because there's a couple other fools that were in it, huh? Like what? Ernie G.
Willie.
They used a ton of comics on there. I did like six of those, and they were like, it was a dumb show, but for some reason it was fun to do.
Yeah, it was a dumb show.
Someone's sitting in a chair, and you got to stand in front of them and make them laugh. You would have been good on that. But
I even bombed the audition of that. Because when I was auditioning for Make Me Laugh, we had to audition with the people who were auditioning to be on the show.
Right.
Oh. The contestants. They're sitting on a chair, man.
In an office, right?
Yeah, and they were really not wanting to laugh. It was harder because there was no audience, and they wanted to be on the show.
And most of them were wannabe actors, yes, too. They were just talking on TV.
I'm doing jokes, and they're trying not to laugh in an actor's way.
Yeah, yeah.
Doing ducky faces.
Gross.
And I just remember Gabriel was telling, he looked so young. He's like, this is my first TV show, and he's a really nice kid, but he seemed a little nervous. And
he bought a leather trench coat with that money. Everybody wearing leather jackets. Willie had a jacket. I had a jacket. The Devil had a jacket. Joey Medina had a leather jacket. Gabriel Iglesias shows up with a leather jacket with a hoodie on it and a belt.
Wow.
And then Willie Barcena says, bro, if you want to wear that jacket, get rid of the belt, get rid of the hoodie. And then one day he was doing a show, and some girls took his jacket. I said, bro, you better take that jacket over. I think those girls are going to make 5 mini skirts.
5.
We would look at that jacket and go, man, how many cows died for that jacket?
No friend of the vegetarian.
And one time
there,
Gabriel was drunk and he was wearing a leather jacket, and we were trying to tip him like cow tipping. What's up, fool? Birdman in the house. All right. What's up, fool? Larry Bubbles Brown right here. Where are you going to be at next?
Well, thanks for having me.
42 minutes of Larry Bubbles Brown. Well, we'll get the other 18 next time.
That's too long for people to listen to me. But
you can find it on YouTube, huh?
Here's what you get. You can see I'm on iTunes with Mark Pitta. We do this thing called Dueling Porno Titles, which is really dirty.
Oh, man, I got to hear that. Dueling Porno Titles with Mark Pitta, who, by the way, is a comedy legend himself.
Mark and I started the same month.
There's a poster of Mark Pitta. You got to tell him next time you see him. And I always want to take a photo of it. It's Mark Pitta. He's wearing it's a poster of him wearing Docker pants, and there's a pee stain in the middle.
Wow.
And in the bottom it says, Mark Pitta wears Dockers too.
And I'm in a documentary film called Three Still Standing that's about the comedy boom of the 80s here.
All right, Three Still Standing.
So check that out. That's on. There's some clips online. It's going to be on Netflix soon. So
cool. And you were in the Dinosaurs of Comedy, huh? With who?
That's Steve Pearl, Johnny Steele, and Michael Meehan, all local guys. And we do that like 3 times a year at the Punchline.
Steve Pearl works a lot with Dice Man, huh, back in the days?
He did, and I think he worked with Kinison, too.
Is he all right, though? He's not really crazy, right? Because sometimes he looks crazy on stage.
Oh, everybody's crazy. He's just, like, very manic.
Manic. You seen a wood? You ever seen a wood chipper?
Yeah, he's got that Robin energy. I'm at that complete. That's why I was always kind of intimidated by Robin. My energy is like, I'm down here, he's up there, you know.
So what's up, fool?
Yeah, man. I'm going to go down here and start the show off real quick.
All right, bro. So what's up, man? Thank you very much, Larry Bubbles.
Well, thanks for having me.
On as a Christmas special.
You're the only podcast I've done.
All right.
Yeah. So.
Give us a couple of mer jokes.
A couple of mer. Someone stole my identity. Now his life sucks. Mer.
Do the one about the crackhead, how you came up with a mer.
Mer. Crackhead.
Told you.
The crack joke?
Yeah.
Oh, I was dating a crack whore. The sex was great. She gave great oral sex till she put the lighter under my balls. Mrr.
People. Check out Larry Bubbles Brown, people. Mrr.
Thank you, Philippe.